So today is Remembrance Sunday, and the history of this day is that it was inaugurated by King George V in 1919, on the 11th, to mark the cease of hostilities, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. So what is remembering? What does the word mean? Well, it could mean to bring back to our minds something from the past. How good is your memory? If you're anything like me, you've got a really bad memory. If you come to my house, you will see there are post-it notes all over the place. And this phone is great as well because I can set up reminders on this phone that ping at me to remember to do things like put the rubbish out or phone my mum. When I left my last job in the army, people made fun of me so much that they covered my office in post-it notes. There were about 1,500 all over the walls. They were trying to make a point. To remember means literally to put something back together. It's the opposite of the word dismember. So today, we are seeking to remember, to be mindful of the present as well, of the daily risks that members of our armed forces and our security services take in service of their country. Today there are soldiers deployed all over the world, in places like Iraq and Sudan and the Baltic states and the Falklands. Now today is going to mean different things for each of us. Some of us will have had real and direct experience of conflict. Others of us will be living with the impact of war on our loved ones, and perhaps therefore ultimately on ourselves. For most of us sitting here today, thankfully peace has been our experience and not war. And so if this day is about anything at all for us, it is to be grateful for such peace. 100 years ago, November 1917, saw the Battle of Cambrai take place. It was a British attack followed by one of the biggest German counterattacks against the British Expeditionary Force since 1914. Cambrai, in the department of Nord-Pas-de-Calais, was an important supply route for the German Hindenburg Line. And the capture of the town, as the British hoped, would threaten the rear of the German line to the north. 44,000 Allied troops were killed in that campaign in November and December 1917. One of them was Rifleman W.A. Chaplin, who was killed on the 20th of November. He was 20 years old. He was the son of Amos and Rosina. He grew up in this parish. Perhaps earlier that year or in 1915, lads like him had seen the recruiting posters up in this village. And there's a poster over there if you want to go and have a look at it afterwards. Join up. The majority of Kitchener's army were young lads under the age of 20. It's quite salutary, isn't it? And quite poignant to hear the list of names read out in a small village like ours from those wars, the impact that that would have had on the community. 3 years ago, I went to London, took my son to see the exhibition, Blood-Swept Lands and Seas of Red. If I said it was the poppies outside the Tower of London, you might remember what I'm talking about. Did anybody else go to see it? There were 888,246 poppies, one for each person who fell. They filled the moat and they went up the walls, if you remember as well. Well, I visited in October with my son, and the moat was nearly full of poppies, and it was a very busy day, a bustly day, a breezy day. But the thing that struck me more than anything about that day was the people who were crowding around looking. Some were standing there quite reverently and respectfully and taking it all in. But quite a lot of people were very, very interested in getting themselves in the picture. So if you imagine the poppies were over there, there were phones up here. And if you got in the way, people were getting quite anxious with you of getting in the way of their photo, with them centre stage and the sea of poppies behind them. Later that morning, we went to the National Gallery. Have you ever been there? Well, don't go on a busy day. And don't try and get near Van Gogh's sunflowers, because the same happens around Van Gogh's sunflowers. People used to stand and look at it, and now people stand and want complete space so that they can be seen with it in the background, in their selfie. The final visit of our day that day was to the Imperial War Museum. On the top floor is a collection of Victoria crosses. And this exhibition displays personal objects and artifacts belonging to those who won the Victoria and George crosses, revealing the people behind the medals and the stories of their lives. Prince of Wales has said this: "Behind every award of a Victoria Cross is a remarkable story involving all those qualities that we British hold most dear. Loyalty, duty, sacrifice, care for others, a good humour and deep humility." Well, during my time as a chaplain in the army, I had the privilege to meet a current holder of the Victoria Cross. His name is Joshua Leakey. And he's from the Parachute Regiment. And he got the Victoria Cross for his actions in Helmand in 2013. And this is what he got it for: "Under fire, yet undeterred by the very clear and present danger, Lance Corporal Leakey ran across an exposed slope of the hill three times to help evacuate casualties, resight machine guns, and return fire. His actions single-handedly regained the initiative and prevented considerable loss of life." Do you know, it's been calculated that the chance of surviving an act that would earn a Victoria Cross is 1 in 10. How many of us today could put our hand on our heart and say that we were brave enough to embark on a single act, knowing that 9 times out of 10, if we did it, we'd be dead? Well, that day when Giles and I visited the Sea of Poppies, the National Portrait Gallery, and finally the Imperial War Museum, something particularly struck me: that there was a real contrast between what we were thinking about respectfully with the Victoria Crosses and what I saw a lot of for the rest of the day. You see, those Victoria Crosses and the people that won them represent for us the ultimate selfless act. Soldiers, as you will probably know, ultimately don't fight for politicians or big causes. They fight for their mates, the people alongside them. They are willing to lay down their lives for others, selflessly. In London, it was a busy, bustling day. Many people were capturing their lives in a selfie. And a selfie is more about me, isn't it, than anybody else? Me being in the centre of the picture. So there's that contrast in my mind that perhaps is poignant for today, between the selfie and the self for thee. Of course, the backdrop to all this for Christians is the example of Jesus himself. In that reading we had, he says, "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love than this, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And of course, the incredible thing about Jesus was that he didn't just lay down his life for his friends, for the people that knew him. He laid down his life for people that didn't know him. at the time, he laid down his lives for us 2,000 years later. And he even laid down his lives for those people who persecuted him. He said to people around him when he was on the cross, "Father, forgive them." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace between us and between us and God. So how are you going to live out your life in the light of the sacrifice that is made on our behalf by soldiers in the past and is being made in the present today? Well, one of the things soldiers do is that they have to be selfless. They have to put others first. And perhaps that is something that we take away from ourselves. We hold ourselves to putting the needs of others first. Instead of being selfie-ish, thinking about being selfless and loving other people. It's an adventure to do this. It's hard. We don't always want to put other people first. It will take every ounce of our willpower and our energy. In some ways, it will be a little bit of a battle against ourselves. But will you join me in this battle to put other people first? Ask yourselves the question, who can I bless today? Who can I pick up the phone to and speak to who I've not spoken to for a long time? How can I help my brother or sister or somebody at school? How can I put them first? We're going to sing together a beautiful quieter hymn now, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind." And as we sing this hymn together, perhaps we could think about just how we can be selfless to others.